As we today, if you remember about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I preached and we preached on grace. And what we'd like to do is continue that series and we'll follow up next week with it. A couple questions that I'd like you to listen to. And if you answer them yes or no. And then I'll tell you the results at the end. Do you ever find yourself seeking the silver bullet that will make you faithful and growing in Jesus? Do you find yourself trying to live your faith in Jesus the way others who seem more spiritual are living theirs? Do you find yourself doing and keeping a list of rules and laws that will make you spiritual or godly? Do you find yourself trying to measure your spiritual health and growth by what others do or their expectations of you? Do you find yourself performing or living out something you are not to show others your spiritual growth and depth? Do you find yourself feeling guilty about doing things that others expect of you, but the Bible does not speak to? Those were yes and no. The chances are, if you answered any of those yes, you're struggling with a grace thief. And that grace thief is legalism. And legalism is taking away your freedom to live in God's grace. A couple weeks ago, as we were dealing with a sermon, we talked about grace. Remember, we redefined grace. The definition I like to use is, grace is God's unmerited transforming power working in and through us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's still his unmerited favor, something he's giving to us, right? But it's more than just favor. It's his power that's working in our hearts through the power of his Holy Spirit to transform us. When we're walking in grace, we're being transformed how? You know that's a question, right? How are we being transformed? By renewing our lives. Also, it's not something we're doing. It's what? Something God's doing in us. And so it's coming from the inside out. And see, grace, Paul talks about grace being so powerful. And we looked at Titus 2, 11 through 14, and we realized that grace saves us. We realized also that grace trains and transforms us as Christ's own possession. It trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion. It trains us to say yes or to live out self-control, upright living, and godly living. Also, grace empowers us to eagerly serve as we wait for Christ's return. And as we're living in grace, one of the results of grace is that there's a joy. It's not a task to be a Christian. There's a joy because you're in a relationship. You have that sense that you are his own possession. You know, he says, we're written on the palm of his hand, but it's more than that. You know, it's daddy. You really have that joy because of who you are and whose you are as you're in Jesus Christ. But the next 2 weeks, we want to look at two grace thieves, the specific things that take away our grace. And the one we want to look at today is to look at how the works of the law or legalism steals our grace. We're going to be in Galatians 5, and you can turn there if you have your Bible. If you don't, there's Bibles back in the back. But I'd like to give you a little background in this passage, because in this passage, we see in Galatians, Paul's dealing with two different issues. The first two chapters, he deals with the issue of they're questioning his apostleship. But as we get into the second part, from 3 on, he's dealing with legalism. He's dealing with the idea that the Judaizers, now Judaizers were Christians are Jews who had become Christians and followers of Christ. Now, to be a Jew, one of the big things about a Jew, you had to be circumcised. And so the Judaizers were coming, and they were saying, yes, you can be a Christian, but you have to be circumcised for all Gentiles. And so it was really what? Pushing them back to the law. And so Paul was dealing with this problem. And as Paul is dealing with this, the circumcision problem, he comes, and if you look in Galatians 3, 1 through 6, he asks three questions. He asks them, he says, so how did you receive your salvation in the Holy Spirit? Was it by works of law or by faith? How is it that you're being perfected in the Spirit? By works of the flesh or by the Spirit? And then he also asks, how did the Spirit and the miracles happen in your life? Was it by the works of the law or by hearing faith? See, the problem he's addressing is they're going back to circumcision, which is legalism. And we're going to define legalism later. So let's look at this passage and let's see what Paul says about the results of legalism in our life. Look at Galatians 5, starting with verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from his grace. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I had confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the gospel has been removed. I wish that those who unsettled you would emasculate themselves. In other words, he's saying, okay, the ones who brought this teaching to you, I hope they're made sterile and they cannot pass this on anyplace else. You want to talk about circumcision? He says, I hope they're just emasculated so they cannot pass on any of this false teaching. But what are the results of the legalism here? If you go back to verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. The first result of legalism is you lose your freedom and are in bondage to the law. Once a person starts to buy back in, and we're talking about Christians here. We're talking about believers. In fact, in this whole passage, he's talking about believers. And after this, in 5 and 6, the rest of 5 and 6, he continues to say, brothers, brothers, brothers. So he's talking to us as believers. You lose your freedom and you're in bondage to the law. Now you have to do the things of the law. You have to keep it. And you're not free. You're not free to grow and to enjoy Christ. You're not free to live in grace. You're caught and you're a slave again. Secondly, in verse 2, Paul says, I say to you that if you accept circumcisions, Christ will be of no advantage to you. He didn't say you'd lose your salvation, but he's saying you are on your own. Staying faithful to Christ and growing in Christ, you're going to have to do it on your own strength. Here's a personal question. How's that working for you? Doesn't work too well for me either. But the thing is, when we're caught in legalism, when legalism starts to steal our grace, it pulls us away. Go to verse 3. Paul says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep how much of the law? The whole law. You know, the trouble with most of us when we get caught in legalism, we usually have a pet project that we want to hang on to. In fact, I was working with a church and they started to teach again that you have to have a head covering. You have to have a head covering. Women, you have to have a head covering if you're in church. And I wanted to go to him, guys, but you're forgetting this part of the law. You're forgetting this part of the law. You're forgetting this part of the law. And Paul is saying that if you're going to buy into legalism and you're going to let it take over, you're going to say, I'm going to do Christ plus the law. You got to keep all of it, not just some of it. And you don't get to pick and choose. Wow. I have trouble with a little bit of it. So how can you keep all of it? And then in verse 4, he wraps it up and he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Wow. Again, he's not saying you've lost your salvation. He's saying, he's just explaining verse 2, and he's saying, you're cut off. There's no advantage in Christ. You have no advantage in Christ. You're just like any other person who's trying to live by the law, because you're trying to live by the law. But we many times as believers say, well, it's just a little bit. No, he's saying that totally affects you. But then he goes one step further, and he says in that verse, he says you're justified by the law. That means you're depending on you keeping the whole law yourself. And then he says what? You've fallen from grace. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I can't live without God's grace. I get ornery, I get ugly, and I get very selfish. And here, if we're letting legalism creep in and steal, it takes away our grace. And then we're living back how? In our own strength, in the power of the flesh. Well, I like what Paul says there. Look at verse 8 and 9, because he shows us how legalism creeps in. This persuasion is not from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. First of all, he's making it very clear. Legalism is not from God. You see that? He said, this is not from God. In other words, if it's not from God, then who's it from? Yeah, you can give me a Sunday school answer. Who's it from? Satan. And you're buying into something from Satan. And the scriptures also say that Satan came to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy us, right? And this is a subtle way. Now, do you see how subtle it is, though? He said legalism is like a little leaven. Any of you ladies bake bread? Or got any of you bake bread? You realize you don't put a whole bunch of yeast into the dough, do you? You just put a little bit in. And what's it do? It affects everything. And that's what Paul was saying, that legalism subtly creeps in, and then it affects and so we need to look at that. We realize as you look at this passage that legalism is insidious. It's a dangerous enemy. Legalism truly is a grace thief. But what does it look like in your life and mine? Let's use it. Let's work on a definition. Legalism is a system or set of rules, regulation, and personal good works one uses to achieve salvation and spiritual growth. Again, legalism is a system or set of rules, regulation, and personal good works one uses to achieve salvation and spiritual growth. The reason I put system in there is because it's a mindset. Have you ever struggled with somebody who's really legalistic? They have a mindset. They can't see outside that. They can't think outside that paradigm. And it's not something that's written down, but it's a mindset. And this is important, and this is important, and this is important, and they're hanging on to it. And there may be some of you here today who were raised in a situation like that where the legalism was very real, and you saw the bondage that it pushed on you. And we have to realize that it's a system or it's a mindset. What of rules and regulations and good work? The goal was to earn personal salvation and spiritual growth. Now, no one who's a legalist, who's a Christian, would say that they weren't saved by Christ. They would only say it's Christ. They won't say this out loud, but they'd say it's Christ plus keeping the rules. And once you get there, it's in legalism. See, legalism is opposed to grace. It's based on personal strength. It's not by the Spirit. It's not by personal faith. It's Jesus plus. It's earning my salvation by what I do. It's living by the rules, our do's and our don'ts. Are there rules that God expects us to live by to be holy? Can't hear your brains. That's better. There are. And we have to watch that. Because we, at many times, we become so grace-bound, we throw everything out, right? and then we become licentious and we can do anything. No, that's not what the Bible's calling us to. In fact, Paul will deal with it. He'll say, do not, in your freedom, do not sin. In your freedom, do not let the flesh control you. In your freedom, he says, walk in the Spirit, and we'll touch that in a minute. But we realize that we have to be very careful, people, that we don't get into the do's and the don'ts. But not only do we do that, we start to try to make ourselves Christ-like. We start to work on things, and then we have to force ourselves. And then we start to try to keep on track of what I have to do. And the sad part is, as we sneak into that, then we start to tell other people what they need to do. You know, Tom, you would really be godly if you would spend 2 hours in prayer every morning. I do that. Well, don't you?
No, I don't do that. Don't go there, folks.
But you see, a lot of times in legalism, that's how it comes across. And I start pushing. And it's subtle. What happens if you don't have your daily devotions? Can you still go and minister effectively? I see both heads. I love it. I see some say no, some say. You have to realize if we're living in Christ and we're living in grace, God can use it no matter what. But the thing is, once legalism steps in and we say, no, I didn't do that, so God can't use me. You see what again? The grace has just been stolen. And God doesn't want us to get there. Do we need to have that time where we're close to God every day? Definitely. But the thing is, we don't make it our list of do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship. There's some things you do that keep it wise to keep the relationship going, and studying the Word's one of them. We have to realize also that legalism is external. It's usually for a show. I'm proving that I'm a faithful Christian. A lot of times, legalism also is about my self-worth. It gives me self-worth. If this person and that person are doing what I'm doing, I must be doing all right spiritually. And we start to look at ourselves, and it's focused on who I am. Another thing, you know, legalism feels right because we're told from this age up to do what? When you went to go to your neighbor's house, your mama told you to do what? Be good. Be good. We tell them all the time. And the thing is, many times we as Christians get caught up in this idea of being moralistic. Moralistic means that we're doing and being good and we're improving our behavior and our own strength. So it feels right to get caught up in the legalism. But it's not right because it's the change of the outside in, not the inside out. We want the Spirit changing us, don't we? I need it. I need the Holy Spirit transforming. And many times also legalism gets caught up in doing it my own way. The only main trouble with legalism, there is no heart transformation. It's like putting lipstick on a pig. You ever seen a pig out in the mud? They don't bother how they look. But a lot of times we as Christians dress up on the outside, but we're still the same on the inside. And that's legalism. Because grace transforms us where? From the inside out. What are some personal results of legalism? The first one is that you're going to lose your joy. Legalism will steal our joy. Have you ever seen Christians who are baptized in lemon juice? You know what I'm talking about? They're always sad and they're always so down. I've been at prayer meetings where everybody was frowning and it was all down, it was depressed. And after the prayer meeting, you wanted to go out and say, give me a break so I feel like a little fresh air. Anyhow, because it was just down. It was a downer. Does God want us to live that way? Jesus said in John 15, he tells us to abide in him so what? His joy may be in us, and our joy may be what? Complete. Watch for the word joy in the New Testament. God wants us to be full of joy. But grace thieves, legalism, will steal it because it all gets to focusing inward instead of letting God work through us. And it becomes depressing. Second result, a natural personal result of legalism is that we tend to have a personal arrogance. Look at me. I'm doing it right. Come on. You can do it right too. Pull yourself up. Come on. You can do that. And then we say, go and do this. Go and make yourself godly. Can you make yourself godly? You can yield to God and he can transform you, but you can't make yourself godly. You can avail yourself to the power of God. You can put yourself in the presence of the Spirit so the Spirit can work in you, and you can be around people who ask questions and help you see stuff in your heart, but it's still God that has to do the changing, right? And so the fact is, if we are letting legalism creep in, what we're doing is it starts looking about me instead of about God. If I remember right, you and I are called to be channels only. That channel who? Jesus Christ. The third thing, personal result of legalism, is usually there's judgmental, critical spirit. Do it my way. Measure up to my standards. I've known some people who were very legalistic, and you just almost didn't want to be around them because they were so critical. You knew you could never, never measure up. You could measure up here, but there'd always be something to take you down. Because of what? When we're caught in legalism, we're looking at people the other way. Well, Nathan, you're not quite measuring up. We might not say it, but we imply it. And maybe you, being raised as a kid, never measured up. Because it was implied. It was said. Because you didn't measure up spiritually to keeping all the rules. And you were afraid to live in grace. And they were afraid. You know, most people who are caught in legalism are scared to death of allowing you to live in grace. Because they think that if we live in grace, we will then run away and we'll become rebels and we'll go against God. The trouble is, the person caught in legalism is already rebelling against God because legalism is not from God. And if you're living truly in grace and letting the Holy Spirit work in you, God's going to transform you and he's not going to let you rebel. So we need to realize that if you're caught up in that judgmental, critical spirit, you might need to look and see, am I caught up in legalism? And then the final thing, legalism makes God's grace of no benefit of value to me. Wow. See, the moment we say we need something plus Jesus, what are we saying about the cross? It's not sufficient. It's not enough. Wow. God's Son giving his all, dying on the cross for you and for me, willing to take my sins upon himself, willing for the first time in all eternity to be separated from the Father for our sake. That's not enough? How arrogant is that statement? But see, when we're caught in legalism, that's what we're saying. That's what the Judaizers are teaching. You need Christ, but you also need what? Circumcision. It's not enough. Making grace of no avail to yourself. So how do you deal with legalism? I want us to look at this two ways. Number one, some of us may be sitting here today and saying, you know, boy, it's kind of creeping in on me. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect, there might be some of you here who are saying, you know, wow, I see some things from my past that I haven't dealt with. And again, we're not here to throw stones at nobody. We're here to look at our own hearts, right? That's the only person we can change. But what do we need to do? First of all, we need to call legalism for what it is. It is not of God. It is bondage. Bondage to what? The law. It also is a sinful substitute for religion. It substitutes out God's grace and God's spirit for what I can do in my own strength. We need to call it that. Secondly, we need to admit that I struggle with it and it drives me. We need to look at the heart issue. Why am I prone to allow legalism to creep in and to take over and steal my grace? It might be something in my heart that I need. It might be an idol that I'm dealing with that I need to stop and confess and ask God to break. And it can be an idol that looks so spiritual. My wife and I had the privilege not long ago to work with a couple, and the guy just looked at us after a day together and said, my idol's ministry. And that's driving him. And then that drove everything else in his life, right? So as we're looking at legalism, what's driving you to say, I need to have more than Jesus? That's what you're really saying. And then you need to go from there to repent of it. What does it mean to repent? Question. I haven't asked many today. What's it mean to repent? Confess and turn away. See the two parts together. Submit, yes, I'm caught in legalism. I need to turn away from it. And then, as we do that, we need to fall on grace. The thing is, we need to come back and say, God, I didn't realize how this leaven took over my life. I didn't realize how this has controlled me. Forgive me, but I'm going to fall on your mercy and grace. That's all I have. There's nothing I can work to take it away. I can only ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and lean on you. And he'll do that. In fact, if you go back to verse 5, look at verse 5 back there. Verse 5 is he starts to, and he gives us a couple answers in chapter 5. Verse 5, he said, for through the Spirit by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. So what we're called to do is, as we fall on his grace, is we need to fall on and say, by faith, God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. Do in my life what you want to. People, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, okay? Is there any good reason to be afraid of the Holy Spirit? He's the one that saved you. He's the one that drew you to himself. All he wants to do is make you more Christ-like. May it be hard? It might be hard. Hard for us to let go, so he changed us. And so we keep in step. But as you look on in that passage, it says, as we fall on his mercy and grace, we need to also, verse 16 in that passage says, but walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so the thing is, now we say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to help me keep in step with you. In fact, in 5:26, he says, the NIV says, keep in step with the Spirit. The reason I don't clap when you someone's singing a song, you know, at the at Keep Rhythm, you know why? Can't do it. I cannot do it. Ask my wife. She'll say, I can't keep the beat. I can't. Just can't do it. So you don't want me in a marching band, right? Why? Because I'd be the one that everyone saw because I wouldn't be in step with everybody else. You know what he's asking us here to? Is say, Holy Spirit, take a hold of me and help keep me in step with where you want me to go. See, if we want to break legalism, we need to yield to the Spirit's leading in our lives and help him to keep us in step. And then also, he says in that passage, if you look at verse 22, he tells us to let the Holy Spirit produce what? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wow. Love, what was the second one? Joy, again. And see, as we lean on the Holy Spirit and yield ourselves. Folks, it's going to take some yielding. It's going to take the willingness to keep in step. You have to hear the beat if you're going to keep in step, right? So you need to be abiding with Christ so that he can tell you, and the Spirit can tell you, step, step, step. Cheryl was in a marching band, played tuba back in high school. She said it's bad when you're doing the figures and the person beside you does the wrong figure and you have two tubas come together. Boom. She said it's hard on your lips because that thing, boom. But you realize so often we don't hear the beat and we don't know the music because we haven't been in the Word like we need to. And then the Holy Spirit can't keep us in step. And it's very easy to slip off here. Slip off here. And what happens? Then it becomes in our own strength. And legalism starts to creep in. And then our grace is taken. God asks us to allow him to produce that fruit in our lives. And we may need to put ourselves in a good environment to do that. Folks, you may need somebody to help walk with you, especially if you're struggling with legalism. Remember, it is subtle. It has stolen your grace. Have someone pray with you. And then also, I'd encourage a godly mentor to walk with you and let someone know you're dealing with. In closing, here's some thoughts to ponder. Are you living in grace? You need grace for salvation. Are you saved? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today? Are you sure of that? No doubt about it. That's living in grace. And then are you walking in that day by day? Secondly, is legalism stealing your grace? Now here's the hard question. How's he doing it? How are you letting that happen? I'll tell you how I let it happen. Every now and then I get performance oriented. And you guys would all say, well, you're an old pastor. You don't ever need to do that. I'll tell you what. You kids have been the hardest group I've had to preach to. Because the old folks, you know, we're preaching the same way. We understand each way. I had to start to learn how you think. You think different than we did. And at first I says, man, can I really connect? And you started to wonder, so you really felt, well, I got to perform. I got to be a good preacher. I got to be a good pastor. You see what just happened? And what would happen in my heart? I'd have fear. I'd have anxiety. I'd be afraid. And I was doing something from the outside, not in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Very easy, isn't it? You know what the idol was that I had to deal with? Anybody? My reputation. Moose has to do what? Look good. You see how subtle it is? And you would always say, yeah, you need to be a good speaker. Yeah, you need to understand the congregation. Yeah, you need to understand their mindset. All those are good things. But you see how I let that slide down? And you need to look at your own heart and life. Is there some way that you've allowed legalism to slip in? So you're doing it in your own strength and not in the strength of the Lord. Finally, what you need to do to fall anew on God's grace and mercy. What step? How do you step closer after you repent? What do you need to do just to fall into his mercy? Remember, living in grace is being in relationship with God, fully dependent by faith on Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit as you're keeping in step with the Spirit to be and to serve. Remember, our relationship is what? To be with Christ. If Christ is enough, then our joy comes from who? being in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we do love you and we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only son for us. We thank you so much for your spirit who rules in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for just your faithfulness to draw us to yourself. We thank you for this word, Lord, that you share with us. And Father, you want us to live in grace, to be grace-filled and to be graceful in all we do, and your spirit to guide and direct us. Father, if there's something in our lives that you want to put your finger on, we come to you today and say, Lord, here it is. I repent. Forgive me. And I fall anew on your grace and your mercy. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Father, we want to be set free from the bondage. And your word says those who you set free are free indeed. We want that freedom. Your word says by grace we are saved. By grace we live. Father, we want your grace to fill us. And we just yield ourselves anew and say, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Fill us. For we ask it in Jesus' name.